Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide-leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrock and Tommy Gester.
Well, hey there, everybody. How are you today? It's Sports Daily. We're glad to be with you here on a Tuesday as we get you ready for the day in sports and a time of the sports calendar where we have a chance to really dig in. You can do it with us. I'm Jacob Albrock alongside Tommy Caster. Max Power producing. He's taking your calls at 869-1240. We're taking your video comments any way you want to give them. Facebook, YouTube, X. Thanks for watching us as well on 12 News Connected. And thanks for listening to us, of course, on the Odyssey app, where you can always leave us voice messages by going and clicking that microphone and doing that. Even if you're listening to us after the fact, if you've got a thought, you want to put it there, you're more than welcome to do that. We will have Felix Johnson in today to talk a little football with us, Chiefs football, NFL football. Speaking of the Chiefs, rumors sort of going around yesterday, and we'll get you into the rumors. And that's all they are at this point about the stadium news for the Chiefs, the Royals, everything potentially as it involves the state of Kansas here where we are and where both of those franchises might play in the future. And of course, the Royals are getting back in action tonight. They're back home at Kauffman Stadium where they play currently as they get ready for a little homestand here for 6 games. It's all what's on tap for you today by brought to you by the Wichita Brewing Company, locations east, west, and historic Delano featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. We will also give away some golf Crestview Country Club today, so make sure you're tuned in and locked in for your opportunity to win there, and we will give away a little HTO as well. Tommy, good morning. How are you?
I'm good. Happy Tuesday. We had a big NBA trade overnight as well. Jrue Holiday being traded from the Celtics to the Trailblazers. We're less than 48 hours removed from the NBA Finals wrapping up, and we've got big trades, and then, of course, the NBA draft kicks off, tomorrow night? There's no rest in the NBA. It goes right into what's going to be a pretty busy offseason.
Yeah, I've seen contract extensions. There's all kinds of stuff going on, and we'll get into that trade. We'll get into that trade. I'm curious to know what these injuries mean for the league. You know, three all-star, I would call them superstar caliber players all blow their Achilles in the postseason. And it's just wild, like how transformational a few injuries that happen at the end of the season are for the next season. Now, you're talking about, you know, legitimately top 10 to 15 players probably in the league. And it's just, it's wild. It's wild what that'll do probably to the offseason. The NBA offseason's always wild. It's always hard to keep up with. We've already seen Kevin Durant traded. We've already seen Jrue Holiday traded. We've got a draft coming up soon, contract extensions. And we're exactly, about, 36 hours following the final game of the regular season. So and the draft. And we'll keep up with all of it. I want to say thanks to Prairie Fire Coffee, by the way, for keeping us fueled up. It's always delicious, and we always appreciate it all across the Odyssey family of networks. Man, we're at that time of the year. It's a strange time of the year, Tommy. We get this, it's about a 3-week gap before training camp. What did we, before the Royals were good, like, what did we do? What did we do during this time?
I don't know.
Talk about how sad we were that the Royals weren't good.
Yeah, exchange recipes. I don't know. There wasn't a whole lot to talk about when the Royals were irrelevant during this time of year.
But it is a fun time of year because you can relax a bit. I think I start to, and it's a week from right now. So it's always a week from now. It's always when the calendar turns to July, my nerd brain goes to like start to think about fantasy football. That's where mine goes. That's what I really like to do in July, is start to lock into all of that business and really try to pay attention to all of that. It's tempting not to do it now, but it's too early. Then it's like, oh man, we got to wait another month and a half for that. No, we're gonna hold off. We're gonna get there. July 1st will go.
Man, I don't get locked into fantasy football until, I don't know, maybe 48 hours before my first draft. I pay attention to it, but I'm not early into it like you are. I'm still fully locked into baseball. I will be for quite a while. I don't think about fantasy football at all until we get probably closer to Labor Day.
I have room for it. I mean, I'm locked into baseball too. I actually enjoy this time of year because I can pay more attention to the entire league for baseball. Like when, you know, you're finishing up the day, maybe the Royals are done early enough where you just kind of flip on a highlight show or you flip on and you really just kind of bounce around. Of course, we're going to have the trade deadline in baseball, and we'll get into all of this today with the Royals, as we always do. It's a pretty interesting trade deadline for us, I think, this year, because we've got three potential paths all in play for the Royals: buy, sell, or hold pat. We have been on, you know, different levels of all of this several times, where it was like buy, 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 then for a very brief amount of time, sell, sell, sell. And I think more recently it's maybe just hold tight. But that's a lot of teams in baseball this year. And these playoff races are intense, and they're going to stay intense most likely. And there will be blockbuster trades. There always are blockbuster trades. I think it's a great time to be a seller. And we'll take a look at it. We'll go into what we think, you know, realistically, what the Royals' chances are at doing this. And then it's also a time to sort of look ahead to the NFL. The other thing, and I know we say this all the time, but man, I really do believe it. It has been the least headline-y NFL offseason that I can remember in a really long time, really long time. So I think for us, it's a good opportunity to look and kind of begin to dig into what we, you know, outside of the Chiefs, which we talk about pretty frequently, what else around the Chiefs? We kind of hinted at this out at the Wichita Open when we were out there. You know, the Chiefs have done all this. I think everybody would agree the Chiefs are at least as good as they were last year, if not a little bit better. So what does that mean for their chances? Well, that largely depends on what everybody else does. So I think we can start to look at what everybody else has done and what, you know, what the rest of the league is looking like and doing to counter what the Chiefs have done this offseason, which is, quite frankly, to load up and I think put themselves in a really good position for at least one more year to make another run at a Super Bowl. We didn't know if they would do that when they didn't get the third in a row and that, you know, bit of history is off the table. But it's, you know, it clearly they want to get as many as they can in this window. But the stadium news is the most topical. We'll get into that when we get on the other side of this break. I guess you call it news. I'm not sure that it's news yet, but there is some reporting out of Kansas City on a few things. So we'll take a look at exactly what's being reported right now, whether you believe it or not, it's out there. So we will talk about it. It's not all that surprising as a little teaser for you if you've listened to this show. And I think where a lot of people have landed with it, but we'll do all of that. We'll have our giveaways coming up. Your number again is 869-1240. If you want to get in touch with the program, Felix Johnson coming up in just a little bit. It's all coming for you. So stick around. We'll have Chiefs Stadium chatter. Let's call it chatter when we return. They going anywhere? They coming to Kansas? We'll tell you what the latest rumblings are next.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
It's time to get back to the sports talk.
All right, let's do this thing. Go!
Sports Daily is on KFH.
All right, welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you. Let's give away a little HTO to start. Stay tuned for your opportunity for a Crestview giveaway. But you can win some iced tea, a free cup on us right now by texting the keyword tea to short code 20357. That's TEA. Each participant here can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. It'll be good for East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. More than 26 flavors to choose from, including sweet cherry. T20357. Good luck, everybody. Max texted me during the break. Wanted us to mention that Shedeur Sanders, he calls him my boy Shedeur Sanders. And this is going to happen. I knew this was going to happen. Like anything,
you love Shedeur. You love Shedeur. It's okay. You can own that.
I think he's a fine quarterback prospect. I don't know yet that I loved him as a college player.
It's okay that he's your boy. I mean, like, don't run away from that. Embrace that. Own that.
I will if he's really good. No, I think he's got a chance to be a good NFL quarterback. A lot of teams didn't want to put up with it. This is part of it here. Now, as he's got speeding tickets, the trouble is speeding tickets. A couple of speeding tickets, including one going 160, which is not good. You probably should stop doing that. All the on-field reporting, I think, has been good out of Cleveland with him, but he's got that. His brother Shiloh was making fun of him on a podcast or something, which I thought was pretty funny. He said, we're in Tampa. You got to be careful crossing the street. Shedeur's out here driving.
He has a lot more to go to top that Raiders guy that was doing like 200.
Yeah, that's the wide receiver, Ruggs. Yeah, that was bad.
Yes, and that is honestly, that's why this is more serious. I mean, I think it's funny that his brother's making fun of him, but like all of this with Shedeur is like, dude, you have got to grow up here. Like, and
I mean, look at Rashee Rice. Like, we're talking about him driving incredibly fast down a highway, causing an accident. Like, these things happen
more nefarious circumstances. Yeah. I mean, let's be fair to it with Rashee Rice and what was going on there. Even if Shedeur is just speeding, like, dude, like, and it's hard. Where was I grown up at 21? I mean, professionally I was. Personally, was I? Probably not. Like, sometimes with these guys, we act like we just were ready to make all the right decisions in life when we were just graduating college and 21 years old. We're not. He's not. None of these guys are, for the most part. That's not an excuse. It's a reality. But if he doesn't figure it out, if he's not getting, you know, somebody to like get him in line, you just fear that something bad's going to happen when you're talking about that kind of stuff. Can't go 160, bro. Like, slow down. That part ain't that hard.
No, you can. He just shouldn't.
Yeah, you can. You shouldn't do that.
You know, and if Rice played with the Cowboys, there would have been no accident.
he's had pretty fortunate situation playing for the Chiefs. I think he's doing fine.
Yeah, but if he played in Dallas, that never happened.
Yeah. Well, he is from Dallas. Or he played college football in Dallas. I don't know where Rashee Rice is from. He played at SMU. But yeah, Shedeur Sanders is, and it's too bad too, because all the reporting on the field, I think, has been pretty good. Like, he's looked good. Like, that, you know, just get it together, dude. Get it together. My boy, Shedeur Sanders.
He's your boy. Okay.
He drew that line in the sand for all of us. Like, you couldn't just have a football take on him, unfortunately, which is all I was trying and have been trying to say is I think he's going to be a decent pro quarterback. Like, you can't even have that take with him. You're either like, this happens all the time. It's not even that surprising in sports. Like, these lightning rod stories, like, you find, like, you're just trying to, like, I'm just trying to look at him as a football player. I think he's got a chance to be a good football player. I would have taken a shot on him in the draft, all this stuff. And it's like, you become this, like, champion for Shedeur Sanders. I'm like, I don't care about
Don't run
that.
Away
like,
from just that. Just embrace it. It's okay.
I will. If he's really good, I will. If not, I'll have to.
If he's not good, then I'm going to dog you forever that he's your boy.
If he's not good, you can dog me for saying I think he can be a good NFL quarterback. Not necessarily good decision maker, He hasn't shown that quite yet, off the field anyway. All right, let's talk about this Chiefs stadium situation. So two different things were kind of happening over the last 24, 48 hours. One, and this is the probably the actual news of things, is what the Kansas City mayor had to say at an event. Quentin Lucas was at a World Cup community event, I think. And let's read you some of the quotes here from him. Said, I've had optimism all the time. I think there are more and more reasons for that. I said last summer that I believe we'd have a compelling Missouri State offer. We've gotten to that. Took a lot longer, perhaps, than some would have wanted. I think this is the important part here. I think the local government conversation is something that continues to proceed as well. Kansas City, Missouri continues extension conversations with the Royals, and with the Chiefs, outreach is ongoing. So I want to know what the local conversations piece of that meant. If it meant they are trying to figure out a way to chip something in on the Chiefs, or if he's just trying to be optimistic on the Royals. The rumors yesterday came from a local Kansas City sports radio personality now, Kevin Keatsman, and his radio station, and he reported that he's heard that they have the Chiefs have pulled all their Kansas interest, basically, and that the Royals will end up in Kansas and the Chiefs will stay at Arrowhead. Nobody else is reporting that, or that's just him saying it's what he's hearing. So we'll just, that's what's out there on that end of things. That, by the way, is what Tommy and I have both thought was going to happen for a while now, at least a few weeks, because the Chiefs haven't taken Kansas's offer. And the longer that goes, they're giving Missouri every opportunity to do anything that it can, which has always said to me that Clark Hunt wants to stay at Arrowhead. It means too much to his family. And the last question was, is he willing to take less money? I think he's willing to take less money. I think we're seeing that. He could have already taken the Kansas deal. And as far as the Royals, it's going to make more sense for them to come across, because I don't know that they're going to have any deal. I mean, the city of Kansas City is not going to present a better offer than the state of Kansas. And they're just like, that's not even close. The state of Missouri put together a good offer, not as good, but a good offer for the Chiefs, right? Not necessarily for the Royals. So what did the Missouri State offer have anything to do with the Royals? Did it, was it also?
Yeah, no, it was for professional sports across the entire state. I mean, it had provisions in there for the Chiefs, for the Royals, for like the Cardinals, if they needed something. Like, it was a statewide professional sports proposal, basically.
So they could still, and maybe that's Lucas's point, they could still figure out a way perhaps to stay downtown, but I can't imagine that the voting base has any interest in anything to do with paying for anything when it comes to the Royals, let alone the Chiefs. So we'll just have to see. I stick by what we've thought for a while now, that the Chiefs are probably going to stay and that Kansas has a good shot at the Royals. But it all goes back to, and this is the other part, and I wanted to bring this up. So the plans that the Chiefs submitted, you remember when they put out that drawing?
Yeah.
That was for a $1.15 billion renovation. A proposal to build, and they're not building a new stadium in the state of Kansas for $1.15 billion. It would probably be triple that by the time they were done. And I haven't really thought about that. If they go down the path, it's going to cost them a Super Bowl. The Super Bowl would never come to Arrowhead. It's too cold. But if the total price tag is really a third, even if the Chiefs are footing the bill for half of it at a third of the cost, which would be what, $760 million is what they would have, or what's real quick, because I'm going to guess $3.5 billion if they built a new stadium. Is that fair? All right, let's say they had to build 30% of that would be their cost. It's $1 billion. So they could make, the Chiefs could get out potentially with a smaller out-of-their-pocket investment with an Arrowhead renovation. And I hadn't really thought about that, because I've always thought of Kansas is offering more money. They're offering a better deal. But the total cost to the Chiefs could be lower if they just renovate Arrowhead. And that probably is something to think about, too, as we talk about the financial component for the Chiefs' decision makers.
Yeah, I mean, I think that as soon as the state of Missouri was finally able to get its crap together from a political perspective and get something passed. And there was a lot of contention, and it was not an overnight thing. It took a long time. It took a lot of back and forth negotiating. But by the time they were finally able to get that solidified and passed and the governor signed it and all of that, as soon as that was done and in action, my immediate thought was, okay, this is going to open the door for the Chiefs to stay in the state of Missouri, even though it's not as good of a overall cash offer from Missouri to Kansas, because of what you mentioned as far as the loyalty that Clark Hunt has to Missouri, to Arrowhead, to the Truman Sports Complex. You know, really, he's basically, I think, signaled that he is giving Missouri kind of the final offer here, like your final and best offer, with the intention of we'd like to stay in the state of Missouri. And really, an Arrowhead renovation, especially assuming that the Royals leave the Truman Sports Complex, at that point, you've got that entire complex to yourself, and you can do a lot of things with it. I mean, think about, you know, I know you've been up to tailgate at Chiefs games before. Think about if you didn't have Kauffman Stadium there and just the amount of additional room and space in that entire area. And if I'm Clark Hunt, if I'm the Chiefs, I'm going to be championing for additional development around that area. Like, it's got to be more than just the stadium and a Taco Bell, right? Like, there's got to be a whole lot more in that area than just that with the reimagined and renovated Arrowhead Stadium.
I don't think they're going to get that renovation because they could have done that forever and they haven't. There's room out there to build things. Nobody clearly wants to. I think for the Chiefs in this, it will cost them less money, right? And again, like, if they just move forward with the renovation that they proposed initially, the money out of their pocket will be lower. But it does cost them a Super Bowl, most likely. There's no world I can envision where the NFL is bringing a Super Bowl to Arrowhead, where they recently played an AFC championship game that sent fans to the hospital. It was so cold. That's probably not going to happen. That development piece of it, they could have already done that. Like, what would be the incentive now for a bunch of businesses to go out and be like, well, now we want to build some hotels out here. They could have done that forever, and they haven't. I mean, when I first started covering the Royals at the World Series, there was a hotel nearby, and there was nothing else in the parking lot. And I'm like, okay, this is a little strange. So I think it's going to be business as usual for the Chiefs. Yes, they can probably enhance tailgate a little bit, but they're basically going to get an upgrade and a new paint job on their stadium, and they're just going to keep playing in that stadium. And it'll be a great facility, and I'm sure the upgrades will be beautiful and all those things. But it's not – I just don't know how much of a priority it is for Clark Hunt to have what Jerry Jones has, which is now this huge, you know, area and parties. I just don't know if it's going to happen. I don't think it is, because it could have already happened. They could have built up a zone between Kauffman and Arrowhead. They could have done all that already. And I don't know how much the Chiefs would even have ownership in anything like that anyway. And it's obviously not like hurting their attendance or doing any of that. It's going to be a cheaper cost, and they're going to stay at Arrowhead, which I think has sentimental value to Clark Hunt, clearly, or they could have already done. Like, all of that stuff we're describing, could have accepted that offer to Kansas already. They've had 2 months. Kansas has had that offer on the table forever. Why haven't they taken the deal? Right? Like, why not? We knew Missouri was never going to match the offer. And even in the last minute lawmaker thing that they did, they still couldn't match the offer. They've wanted to stay. Like, that's why they've wanted to stay. It's become pretty clear. My big question now becomes, what do the Royals want? What does John Sherman want? I think he wants to get downtown. I don't think there's going to be the appetite for that. Maybe there is that we don't see. That's the deadline, I think, that the clock is ticking on. The Chiefs aren't coming to Kansas. I don't think anymore that's going to happen.
I don't think they are either. Do you remember? Let's go all the way back to when this thing really first started. It was driven by the Royals. The vote that went out to the public that was roundly defeated, that was put to a vote basically by the Royals. The Royals pushed that. Remember how kind of reluctant the Chiefs were to get into this entire conversation? Like, I remember... I think it was maybe John Sherman was doing a press conference and talked about like their partners with the Chiefs and kind of like tried to drag them into this a little bit. And I remember like at the very beginning, the Chiefs like put out a statement like, hey, we're not really a part of this. This is mainly the Royals like driving
it. Don't bring us into this.
Because the Royals wanted a downtown ballpark. They probably still do want a downtown ballpark. But I, you know, I think that from day one, like if you go back, hindsight's 20/20, if you go back all the way to the very beginning of this, it was pretty apparent even from day one that the Chiefs wanted to stay at Arrowhead. And all of this, they've kind of been reluctantly drug into the middle of all of this. And then everything sort of got bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then Kansas put a really attractive offer on the table that, you know, the Chiefs are probably like, look, we've got to at least do our due diligence and look at this and pay attention to it and figure out what's going on. And maybe we can leverage some things and maybe we can get a pretty good deal out of this. You know, so while they may have started reluctantly, yeah, they've jumped into the fray and it continues on. But I think all along, it's been apparent that their intention has been they want to stay at Arrowhead. They want to be on the Missouri side.
And that's okay. I get it. And I'll tell you this too. I was telling Brandon in the office yesterday, it doesn't break my heart, right? Like the thought of doing both deals and bringing those over, that was always going to be hard to imagine paying that off through the star bond. One of them coming, and the one that's going to guarantee you 81 dates and all, maybe. And I don't mind it, right? I don't mind the Chiefs continuing to play in Arrowhead. My goodness, it's one of the meccas of the NFL. There's nothing. Arrowhead's amazing. I don't mind not building a brand new stadium for a football team when it's not needed. It would have been cool. It could be cool. The door's not closed yet. There's about a week left before the Kansas deadline. But if it was just the Royals, let me say it this way. I think as a resident here, it's probably easier to swallow to say just the Royals than the Royals and the Chiefs. Of course, just the Chiefs would have been the best case scenario, but just the Royals is probably a less risky financial proposition than the Chiefs and the Royals. So if it is just the Royals, and it may be neither, right? The Royals could end up staying. But if it is just the Royals, I still think that's a huge win for the state, A. And maybe even it's possible that it's a better and more realistic win than both.
I would love to have the Royals on the Kansas side. I think that would be awesome. I know Kevin Kiteman is suggesting that they're going to end up at Legends. That doesn't make a lot of sense to me because they bought the former Sprint campus, you know? So like, I don't know how accurate that is, but I think regardless of where the location is, if they're on the Kansas side of the border, that is a win for the state of Kansas. And I know that, yeah, like I'm sure a lot of people, in this state would love to have the Chiefs and be able to claim them as a Kansas team. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter one way or the other, as long as
Kansas
they are. Like, it doesn't really matter one way or the other.
Brandon messaged us a little while ago when we were talking about those injuries in the NBA. Says, weird coincidence, all three NBA players with Achilles injuries wore number 0. All of it is weird. It sucks hard, though. Like, we go into this postseason, you see Dame get hurt, the Bucks go down, and all the rumors for a long time are, is Giannis going to get traded? Should Giannis get traded? What should happen there? It's like, man, what an unfortunate injury, right? The Bucks were they preseason favorites? They were pretty close to it if it was probably the Celtics. Then you see the Celtics come through, trying to repeat as champions. They're, you know, whatever. Jason Tatum goes down. And it's like, oh, well, there's the end of that dynasty. They just make a big trade. They just trade Drew Holiday away for a younger player, trying to, like, prepare now for the season without Jason Tatum. And then you've got the Pacers, who are in a game 7 with their best player, and Tyrese Halliburton goes down. They're not doing anything next year without Tyrese Halliburton. Like, these landscape changes, not just impacting obviously the postseason this year, but the entire next season is really strange. Really strange. That injury sucks. We know that injury sucks. Sucks hard. But to hit three all-world players in the postseason to cost them the next season, we've never seen anything like that. That's that just like it's wild.
Yeah, I mean, I would imagine that if people around the NBA had not been paying attention to calf injuries as much, I think they certainly are going to be paying attention to them now. With a higher level of scrutiny, I know that Tyrese Halliburton said that he would do it all over again. If he had that calf injury, he would go out and he'd try to gut his way through it and play, through the series and go as long as he could. And ultimately he ended up with a ruptured Achilles and all of that. So I don't know. I mean, I think that we're learning more about what calf strains and calf injuries can ultimately lead to. But it's certainly unfortunate, and it's, I think just a terrible coincidence that you've got three of the league's best players that all go down in the playoffs with the same kind of injury. And I think that it's something that should be top of mind for teams across the NBA moving forward about how they handle and how they deal with players that are dealing with some kind of calf injury.
I just wonder, too, like, why now? I mean, we've seen the Achilles injury. It's not new, but the frequency of it across sports does seem new. Because we saw Aaron Rodgers, we saw Kirk Cousins, we saw like we just it feels to me like we're seeing it more. And if it was just the NBA where we were seeing it more, I think that I would be more inclined to entertain the conversation of like, is load management hurting potentially? Like, is the infrequency and the, you know, the different, I don't know, strain being put on bodies consistently, is that actually hurting them? But we're seeing it also in the NFL. And so I don't know what it is. Like, why would we be continuing to see this injury that felt like, I don't know, 5 years ago, it was really crappy injury and unfortunate and sad, but it just, and I could be totally wrong on this frequency. And maybe it's because it's star players, but it feels like it's coming more often than it used to me.
I get it. And I think that I don't know if it's something that if we're looking at a trend that is continuing or if it's again, a coincidence, but regardless, I wonder if now we're getting into a space where, things are going to have to be dealt with a little bit more differently. You've got a player that feels a tweak in their calf or they're, dealing with, some kind of injury. I think that it's, and again, I'm not like a, sports, physical therapist or anything. I'm not an athletic trainer. But I wonder like how many times do players say I'm cramping up in my calf and really you've got an issue that is a lot deeper than that. I don't know. I have no idea. But I do think that there is a scenario in play where we're looking at these becoming more commonplace, and then you have to adjust the way that you manage them. You have to adjust the way that the team trainers and doctors are basically, whether or not they're allowing these players to go out and play at full strength. Are they going to be able to play their way through it? Because if they do, like in the case of Tyrese Halliburton, I get it. He's trying to gut his way through an NBA Finals and get to a Game 7. Not only do the Pacers lose the game, but then they lose him basically for the entire next season as well. So you've got to weigh that risk and reward.
Yeah, we'll see what the long-term fallout is of all of this. The short-term fallout is the Celtics trade Jrue Holiday. We've got repositioning. We'll see what ultimately ends up happening with the Bucks. I think the Pacers are just going to have to sort of ride it out now next year and do whatever. They'll still be, I think, a decent team. But when you lose your best player in the NBA and that, that obviously impacts things. Rick chimes in, a Celtics fan, that Boston's dropping $70 million of salary, a new salary because of new ownership and too many big contracts. Yeah, they're obviously there's a component, but they know they're not winning a title without Jason Tatum. Long term, there could be a world where it puts them in a better financial position, I guess, when they know they're not going to win to go and be able to do stuff like this. It sucks. It's unfortunate. I hate it. Injuries always suck. Injuries are no good, but they feel like when they eliminate the potential outcomes of your postseason and then those players for the next season, this dang Achilles injury is just gnarly, man. It's a brutal, brutal blow when these things happen. I saw this, and we can get into this with Felix Johnson probably a little bit more, but I did just see this headline. Apparently, Pablo Torre got to some information we hadn't heard yet, that the NFL, there was kind of a collusion case, and an arbitrator found out the NFL almost certainly, and I'm very, very much paraphrasing all of this, that they colluded, as it was after the Deshaun Watson contract, to say we probably should make sure we're not guaranteeing any contracts like that. There'll probably be some outrage there, and there probably should be. I don't know how on earth the NFL still survives without guaranteed contracts. How is the NFL, like, what is the NFL doing so much better at the bargaining table than the NBA or Major League Baseball? I don't understand it. And I'm not saying either of those places does it well. I'm just saying, how in the world has the NFL gone this long without fully guaranteeing contracts? The most violent injury-prone sport has gone the longest without guaranteeing contracts. The NBA and Major League Baseball have been doing this forever. How have the players not won that argument? I don't understand. Like, that's the one thing you should fight for if you're the NFL Players Association.
I mean, you said it at the very beginning of your statement there. I mean, you answered your own question. The bargaining table, the collective bargaining, like the NFL negotiating clearly is better than their counterparts.
How could they be so bad at that, though? The players' union.
I wonder if there have just been other things that they've needed to compromise on. I don't know the answer to that.
I mean this genuinely. What if you're a member, if you're at that table on the players' side, what could possibly be more important than that? Can you think of one thing that would be more important than that if you were trying to bargain for the rights of the players?
But at the same time, if you are an owner, what is the one thing that you do not compromise on?
I understand.
It's guaranteed contracts, right?
But there's no precedent for ownership on that. Like, every other league that you could compare yourself to, the two that you could compare yourself to, are guaranteeing contracts, have been for a long time. So, like, what are you... I've never been able to figure that out. This story doesn't surprise me, by the way, because we've called it like one of the worst decisions ever. It was partly one of the worst decisions ever with Deshaun Watson because the player wasn't worth it. And we all thought that. That's not what made it one of the worst decisions ever. What made it one of the worst decisions ever is there was absolutely no precedent to guarantee that contract fully. It's like, why did you do that? You don't have to. Like, what are you thinking? Like, it's not that you missed on the evaluation of a player. You were desperate. I can get that part of it. I get giving to, but why did you need to fully guarantee it? Nobody else was doing that. There wasn't any reason to do that.
I mean, the Broncos threw a bunch of guaranteed money at Russell Wilson. And we forget about the Russell Wilson contract because of how bad the Deshaun Watson contract was in comparison. If it wasn't for the Deshaun Watson one, we'd still be talking about Russell Wilson to this day as a terrible contract. It absolutely was and is and continues to be. There are other examples of guaranteed money. I think part of the reason why ownership across the league would want to dig their heels in and not do that is because I can't think of an example, and there are very few of them where they've done a lot of guaranteed money like that. I can't think of a single example where that's worked out well for the owners, for the teams.
No. And I'm not saying like, this isn't like some philosophical statement like that they should be, or they shouldn't be guaranteeing contracts. I think they probably should be, but they don't want to, but it would take something monumental. If they haven't been able to bargain that in even now, it would take like Patrick Mahomes saying, you know what, I'm really going to do right. I need a fully guaranteed contract, because he'd get it. And it would take something monumental like that. But I understand not wanting to mess with it. Like, if I'm a pro athlete and I'm a player, I would feel so fortunate to even be there and get what I got. I'd be like, I'm fine. Like, whatever. I'm not too worried about it. It just, what surprises me about it is that with the other sports doing this for so long, that the NFL has continued to figure out a way to not have to. Like, that is, you want to talk about some math, you can say whatever you want about Goodell and ownership, like the league and all that stuff. The fact that they don't do it is wild to me. Wild to me. So when this story comes out that they colluded, yeah, after that contract, be like, hey, you know, we should probably not make a habit of this unless you guys want to start fully guaranteeing contracts for punters. Like I would, if I was you guys, you 32 owners, I'd make sure this doesn't happen again, which is probably illegal. I don't know. I'm not a labor law expert, but that we'll see if there's any blowback. I'm sure it'll just kind of, you'll have Florio out there. Oh, look at how important we are as journalists and all this stuff. And the fans are just like, yeah, whatever, dude. When's training camp?
Yeah, nobody cares.
Should care, but we don't. We don't have time for that. We don't have the energy to care about that. I saw that. It was a funny little aside that I stumbled through in the break there. All right, coming up in the second hour, we've got a lot for you. Hey, Shane Gillis is going to host the ESPYs.
There you go.
Get interesting.
That'd be fun.
Woo! Comedy's back, baby. Yeah, that'll be something. Because you know he's not going to let that opportunity pass by. We'll come back. We have Felix Johnson in the next hour. We'll get you ready for this Royals homestand. It's all coming in another hour. Sports Daily, don't go away. All right, welcome back in, everybody. It is Sports Daily, getting you ready for another hour of the show here. Royals begin a homestand tonight. We will get into that as we make our way through. Felix Johnson also stopping in next segment to talk about the NFL, everything going on in the world of football. Also, the Kansas City Chiefs. We'll get his take on the stadium stuff that's been kind of floating out there the last couple of days. See if he feels the same way we do, that the Chiefs will probably stay in Missouri and there's still a chance at least that the Royals could come over to Kansas. But we'll get Felix's take on all that as we make our way through some of the reporting he's been doing with the Chiefs. That Royals homestand will be compelling. Again, playoff teams all over the place that they'll be playing over the next six games. Your calls, 869-1240. Your comments on the video streams, Facebook, YouTube, X. Appreciate everybody on 12 News Plus. And, of course, your voice messages available on the Odyssey app. It's all what's on tap for you here in the second hour, brought to you by Wichita Brewing Company. Locations East, West, and Historic Delano, featuring a rooftop deck. Wichita Brewing Company, it's pizza and beer made here. Speaking of the video stream, Rick continues with the NFL conversation we were just having on the other side of the break. You also said most violent, injury-prone sport owners are not going to do it. Well, they're not going to do it if they don't have to do it, right? That's what I mean from like the player's perspective. How has that singular issue not caused critical mass holdout strike type implications by now? I hope it doesn't, but how is it not? Like if you were at that table and you're representing the players, like what is the singular thing you would fight for? Because for me, it would be guaranteed contracts. There's a precedent for it in the other sports. Like we have precedent for this. Like these leagues are guaranteeing these contracts and these players are taking on way less injury risk than we are.
Well, look, I think that directing it back to what we found out less than an hour ago from Pablo Torre that, you know, the NFL and Roger Goodell and the owners allegedly have been colluding to not guarantee contracts or to not make that a tradition, not have that happen more often than not. I think it shows the lack of appetite for sure from the top down, you know, to make this happen. So, I mean, I think the bottom line is that it would have to take something of a colossal labor change, like labor strike, long-term. And I don't think the players, I don't think, at least at this point in time, I don't think the players, owners, players association, the teams, the league, I don't think anybody has the appetite right this second for that. That being said, though, depending on how this story plays out, if it does get picked up and people start, you know, jumping on it and it becomes a bigger topic, then I could see that maybe being the galvanizing move for the Players Association to say, you know what, we need to start looking at this a lot more seriously and be prepared for some kind of labor strike or something, you know, to try to get, you know, to try to at least hold the league accountable, hold the teams accountable and showing that, you know, look, it's one thing to not guarantee our contracts. It's another thing to collude to not give us guaranteed contracts.
Well, and that's where, in Rick saying that the owners would rather have a lockout than do this. Yeah, for a season, maybe for half a season, but not for an extended period of time. And nor would the players, by the way, because the playing career is shorter every season that is locked out shrinks. That's the owners have done a nice job from their perspective of making this not happen. I think that over time, again, you're going to have individual star players that have all the leverage in the world say, nah, we're going to need that guaranteed, or just continue to grow the guaranteed portion that eventually that lifts the bottom end up and makes it more of a standard in the contract. I think that's probably more likely. It is a little bit different, right, than baseball players. And baseball players have gone on strike, right? We've had lockouts. We've had lockouts in the NBA. I don't believe we've ever had a lockout in the NFL, have we? Max, you might know that.
Yeah, we have.
When was the last time?
There was one for sure in the 90s, and some crossed the line eventually. And wasn't the 2000s, early 2000s?
Surely the 90s. So the last one was in 2011, but that was before the 2011 season started. It was a five-month lockout from March 12th to July 25th.
Well, but they didn't – I should say strike. Like, they didn't miss regular season games.
So 1987 was the last time that there was, okay, there was a one-month strike during the 1987 season. Okay. 1982 – there was an 8-week strike during the season. Those are the only two that have actually happened during the season, 1982 and 1987.
I don't think we'll get to that point. I don't think we'll get to that point. It's going to take players. It's going to take individual players to say, yeah, you know what? I'm going to want that fully guaranteed. And ownership's going to have to continue to find ways to. Well, let me ask you this. This is a total left field curveball, but I'm just trying to think of the possibility. Let's say it was a guy like Mahomes, and Mahomes isn't going to do this. I just keep using him as the example of like the most leverage a player has in football. What would you rather do if you were an owner? Because I've long thought, and the NFL, especially with quarterbacks, that ownership stakes will be the next crazy big, like weird contractual thing that happens, right? Like for a guy like Mahomes to say, you know what? I want 1% ownership stake or 2%, or that's the thing in the contract. If you were an owner, which would you rather give? A fully guaranteed $600 million contract or an ownership stake to a guy like who is the face of your franchise and probably will be for the next 30, 40 years?
I mean, knowing the way that these NFL teams appreciate and value, I think a guaranteed contract is probably a cheaper option. Because all we know, I mean, we obviously know that these NFL franchises continue to grow in value significantly year over year. Like the famous story of what Jerry Jones bought the Cowboys for in 89 versus what they're worth right now. And there's no indication that that's going to slow down anytime soon. So, I mean, if it was that choice, I mean, I would say a guaranteed contract for sure. I think the other thing too is that I know you bring up the Mahomes, like the example of Patrick Mahomes, and you could bring up any player as an example. The reason why even having the face of a league like a Patrick Mahomes championing this whole thing, why that probably won't work is because there are 31 other owners in the NFL that don't care. Like, because really at the end of the day, like Patrick Mahomes may be the face of the league, but really it's only impactful to the Kansas City Chiefs and to Clark Hunt. Like, it's not like if Patrick Mahomes says, I want guaranteed contracts and I want the entire, right, you know, all the players to have guaranteed contracts, you know, he's not going to do this. But at the end of the day, like, it's only going to be the Chiefs that would have to be impacted by that. The other 31 owners don't really care. It doesn't really impact them.
Correct. And that's what happened with Deshaun Watson, right? Nobody cares that they gave him as a stupid contract. But what it would take is that becoming a precedent. And the only way that happens is if the top guy makes it a precedent. Deshaun Watson was not the top guy. That's why that made no sense when they did it. No sense. It's like, why would they do that for Deshaun Watson? Like, we didn't even know if he was any good anymore when they signed that deal. He'd been hurt. He was, you know, doing his thing with massage parlors and allegedly, like all of that was happening. It's like, where did that come from? I'm saying, like, every year we have these quarterback and they all have to, you know, get a little bit more than the last guy and all that. And And the NFL is smart, right? The NFL is really, really smart. They do a great job of looking like they concede things and they never do, right? Like it looks like, oh, fine, we'll, you know, I guess we'll make Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback and we'll fight it and be contentious about it and we don't want to do it. But the reality is, like in bigger picture, they don't care about making Dak Prescott that. They do from a football perspective, right? Because they have a salary cap, but they don't from a business perspective care about making Dak Prescott the highest paid quarterback. At least I don't think they do. They would care more about, yeah, fully guaranteed money that they have to pay in case of an injury. And so like, but we'll only focus on the football side. And we're like, well, does that make the most sense to their salary cap and to their roster and to all these things? NBA has a salary cap, right? And they get guaranteed contracts. Baseball, it doesn't matter because there's no salary cap. So nobody really cares, right? It's just money that goes forever. Nobody cares about that. Football, it's against the cap. But so the NBA is against the cap and they do it anyway. It's interesting that the NFL has been able to do this for this long because it's the sport that can't, that probably wants to strike the least of all the sports, I would imagine, because it has such a stranglehold on us and that could fracture at any moment if there's any perceived weakness or distractions away from the field. It's an interesting story only because I can't believe they still don't have guaranteed contracts. I think about that a lot. But it's, you know, it's a fallout of the Deshaun Watson deal, which is, from a business perspective, one of the silliest deals we've ever seen in sports. Like, why would you do that, Browns? Why would you do that? We'll get Felix Johnson's take on that, on the stadium stuff. We're going to have a conversation about the Chiefs with the Chiefs insider and about football in general. It's Sports Daily. It's all Brockton Caster. It's a Tuesday in the summertime, and we're coming right back.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Okay, take it easy. We're going on the air.
This is Sports Daily on KFH. And now, digging deeper with the teams you follow, it's another Sports Daily Insider interview on KFH.
All right, welcome back in for another hour of Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrock, Dan Felix Johnson here with you on this Tuesday. Felix, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you?
We're good. It is. We're just kind of counting down the days until training camp here. The NFL is giving us some pretty interesting stories. I think the one, and we can start here and then we'll go into the Chiefs. You can find Felix's work, by the way, at Arrowhead Addict. You'll follow him on X at Felix R. Johnson. I don't know if you saw this morning, and there's some reporting here in the last couple of days. Pablo Torre, I think, had it originally, and others. The NFL, after the Deshaun Watson trade, an arbitrator decided that they very likely colluded to make sure there were no guaranteed contracts. I don't know. I don't think the NFL fan base as a whole really cares about that. I'm not sure I do either, other than just being amazed that this league still doesn't guarantee contracts and that the players haven't taken that one singular issue and made it their hill to die on over the years at the bargaining table. Do you think there's any fallout from this, though? If like they see that there's this galvanizing thing? I don't, but I could see the possibility.
Yeah, I think the battle has always been, like, obviously we talk about the value. Obviously a quarterback deserves probably a guaranteed contract more than anybody else would. So when a quarterback did get one, like Kirk Cousins got his with the Vikings when he first signed with them, Deshaun Watson, obviously mentioning him. But I think it's just kind of the numbers thing, where it's just like there's 53 guys on your regular season roster. It's kind of hard to guarantee all of them because it's just a hard thing to do, even for billionaires. And so I think that it is one of those things.
Where the NBA does it.
Exactly. But there's 15 guys on those rosters as opposed to the 53 on the NFL roster and then however many more on the practice squad. So and obviously these are things that can be figured out because these are billionaires with the capital B's. And so I'm sure that they could be figured out if they absolutely wanted to. But obviously the players haven't pressed the issue yet. And so I think that it is going to be something in the coming years that the issue does get pressed, but it's just not yet because of one reason or another. And I think that like we're seeing a rise in like running backs getting paid more, like because we saw like Derrick Henry and Saquon Barkley have Saquon's not 30 yet, but Derrick Henry's past the age of 30. We've seen older running backs have really good years. And so I think we're going to start seeing more and more guaranteed contracts just across the league. I mean, it depends, and it's going to be more over the course, probably like by 2030, that we're going to see them spread out over positions. But I think we're going to see it start to grow a little bit.
Yeah, and it's interesting, too, and in fairness to NFL ownership, because baseball guaranteed – NFL players get paid far more quickly than baseball players, for instance, who have to go through an arbitration process. Exactly. And can't even hit free agency to get those guaranteed contracts for a really long time in most cases. Exactly. So there are I just think the NFL's always done such a good job of avoiding that elephant in the room by doing other things to sort of be distracting from the big thing, which for is, sure. Hey, wait a minute. We're like, this is the most injury prone sport. And we get hurt more than anybody. Why aren't we guaranteeing these deals? Like, why isn't this like, and so they're like, oh, hey, look, you can get a big guaranteed rookie contract. Exactly. You can get all this stuff right away.
Well, and that's what a lot of casual fans may not understand is that the NFL Players Union is probably the weakest of the four major sports just because, and Roger Goodell is probably the best commissioner, but he's helped out by having a weaker players union because they're not fighting for as many things as the MLB Players Union or the NBA PA or whatever the case may be. So it works out in both cases where Roger Goodell is really, really good at his job, but also his job is made easier by not having a ton of opposition on the other side.
Yeah, it's always been interesting to me. We'll see if this gains any legs. There may be some smoke blown, but I don't even know when the next bargaining happens. The thought of a strike makes me want to vomit ever in pro sports. We want our games and we want our distractions. Let's talk about the Chiefs here, Felix. You wrote about Creed Humphrey since the last time we talked. You think leadership for him is going to be pretty paramount for this team. I mean, the offensive line sort of remains this only question for this team. And I think we'd all agree, even with the loss of Joe Tooney, they're probably more talented this year than they were last year. But you think Humphrey's going to have to be a big part of that, a big part of it all working together.
Well, yeah. And I think that when the Chiefs moved Joe Tooney out to left tackle, they were more confident with moving him out there because you have Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith on the other side. Just in the end, it's weird that the offensive line is a question mark, but the interior of the offensive line might be a strength of the entire team because Trey Smith and Creed Humphrey's being an all pro. So it is just kind of an obvious thing of like, yeah, your center is your leader of your offensive line because he touches the ball every play, but Creed Humphrey is also their best pound for pound blocker. So it allows you to be a little bit more creative. You can move your guard out to tackle if you absolutely need to, like the Chiefs did last year. And now this year, probably bring in Kingsley Suamataia or a backup or whatever the case may be, whoever the starter is at left guard that we'll see. And then with the tackles, like Jawan Taylor, that's a question in and of itself, but whomever left tackle is week one and for the long course of 2025, Creed Humphrey is going to have a big hand in that just by being the center. And he, at best, a really good center can eliminate a third of the quarterback's job by saying, I've got the protection, I've got the run fit, the run scheme, or whatever the case may be. And so, I obviously, Creed Humphrey is the best center in the league by every notion, by every metric out there, and especially now that Frank Ragnow is retired. So, I think that even his role is going to be even more increased because they're losing Joe Tooney, but also they have some pieces that they're going to have to fit together going into this year.
Yeah, look, I think, and I'm guilty of this too, I think that the role, and I like that you brought this up in that article because you're going to have Smith and Humphrey, right? Boom. Everything's locked in with those guys. Jawan Taylor is okay. He's all right. He's way too penalized. Then you're going to have a huge hole at left guard without Joe Tooney being there. You're asking a guy who is one of the worst left tackles we've seen in a while, just assume that he's going to be better at being a guard, right? Mm-hmm. It's a big ask. It's possible. It's totally possible, but it's a big ask. And then we still don't know between Jalen Moore and Josh Simmons and all the things they're going to have at left tackle. There are a lot of questions, even though I think that the line will be better collectively, at least at the one thing that killed them last year. I don't know if it'll be a better overall unit, but they'll be better at pass blocking. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of questions with this, and it is the one area that we know from our history recently tells us this, that could be an Achilles heel for this, for this team. So yeah, a guy like Humphrey and every veteran and coach in there has a lot of work to do with a lot of new faces and new places and all kinds of different things to make sure this works and they don't cost them another Super Bowl.
Well, and I even think in the case of Kingsley Suamataia, I think you're taking a 21-year-old second-round pick and saying, all right, the reigning Super Bowl champions, you're the starting left tackle week one. Protect Patrick Mahomes and figure it out. And he was still a very raw prospect and very just – that's what he was. And so maybe bring him in, and this is probably more of a personnel thing, trying to bring him in to tackle. And then they had the ability to draft Josh Simmons, and they went and signed Jalen Moore, which I thought they were probably going to sign a backup tackle of sorts, a swing tackle, no matter what, because that's where the league is kind of moving. And I think that's really interesting. Whether or not Jawan Taylor is going to be there for the long run for the entirety of his contract, I think the Chiefs are going to need a guy that can play left and right tackle, because you saw, like, the Lions this past year, they led the league in, I believe, like the sixth offensive lineman. The Bills did a ton of it. And so I think the Chiefs could introduce some of it, even though what Andy Reid likes to be creative and doing a lot of different things, but you're just going to need a backup tackle anyway. So I think it's like you're saying, it's going to be really interesting to see just because a lot of shifting movements, but with the, as much potential as it is, this could be one of the better offensive lines because if Josh Simmons works out, if Kingsley Tuimataia works out, obviously Creed Humphrey is that dude, Trey Smith in his franchise tag year, and then their right tackle and Jawan Taylor, he can be passable. So I believe that like you're saying, this could be a better offensive line strictly by these guys are young and they might just figure it out this year.
But we don't know. I mean, who's going to be the right tackle? If the Chiefs are playing in the Super Bowl, who's going to be the right tackle?
It's probably Jawan Taylor. And then, I mean, the left tackle, I mean, that's the thing is that the Chiefs have done a really good job. And I mean, you can kind of look at it like the receivers, like Xavier Worthy got better as the year progressed along. And by the end of the season, it was like, sure, he's a rookie, but he's also been in this offense for an entire year. The offensive line was in a similar case when they drafted Creed Humphrey and Trey Smith, where they were rookies and they started the entire year and were some of the best offensive linemen in football. And so maybe by the end of the year, whomever their left tackle, left guard, right tackle, whomever is playing in those spots, those guys have been playing the full season or at least a lot of the year.
We have a caller with us, Stuart. We'll get to Stuart. Hang with us, Stuart, in just a second. We'll go back to the he thinks he's a solution to the NFL contract guaranteed thing. But before we do that, some rumors out there with the Chiefs and the Royals stadiums potentially coming to Kansas. Boy, it looks more like the Chiefs are going to stick around in Missouri. Is that the right play, do you think? I know, obviously, there is sentimental value there that it will probably the total investment will be less for Missouri, but the cash out of Clark Hunt's pocket will also probably be less if they just renovate Arrowhead. But it's going to cost them a Super Bowl. They're not getting a Super Bowl to an open-air stadium in Kansas City in February.
Right.
Do you think it's the right call for the Chiefs? What do you think they should do?
Well, and I think to that point is that a Super Bowl can only come to you once every 6-7 years or whatever the case may be. They're going to be playing divisional games in December and playoff games in January. So you might as well have that advantage and be used to it and be playing against Miami like they did a couple years ago in like the fourth coldest game in NFL history. Use that advantage for you. And if Patrick Mahomes, and I remember I wrote the article a couple weeks ago, once Patrick Mahomes gets older, it may be something that maybe you wish you were playing in a dome, but we saw Tom Brady age in a domeless stadium. So I think that it is something that we can see moving forward that it like wish you kind of had a dome a couple years ago. But at the same time, there is a great advantage in playing outdoors, especially against some teams in the AFC, like a Houston might be coming to town this coming year. There's a couple of teams that are coming to Arrowhead where you have a massive advantage just by it being cold outside.
Yeah, I don't know what the right answer is on that, but it sure does look like. And the mm-hmm. Super Bowl's a big deal, though, man.
For sure.
But they got a draft, and they've gotten
– And I mean, the question is, would you rather be playing in the Super Bowl or hosting it? And, like, I think that the Chiefs have a better chance of playing in the Super Bowl if they have the track of playing in the home field advantage of
I think weather. We're talking about football and business. If it's a business question – boy, hosting that Super Bowl, because they'd probably, you know, you'd probably get two. They'd probably mm-hmm. say, we'll bring the Super Bowl there two over the next 30 years or whatever it is.
For sure.
It's an interesting situation. We got about a week left, but it sure looks like they're going to stay, and they've always wanted to probably. All right. Felix Max says he really likes your hat. Max is, you know, he's an old guy. So he likes the Beatles. He likes that hat. What we're going to try to do here, though, this will be cool. We're going to try to take Stuart in his call. Give me 2 seconds, technically speaking. We haven't done this yet, so I've got to figure out if we can hear Stuart on this video stream. So, Max, let's get to Stuart and see what he's got to say.
Are you there?
Yep, we got you, Stuart. How's it going?
The players desperately don't want an 18-game schedule. Dig your feet in and tell them if you want an 18-game schedule, we want guaranteed contracts. The players win either way. They don't want an 18-game schedule.
They probably would be fine with an 18-game schedule, Stuart, if they get paid for an 18-game schedule.
Exactly.
And if they don't have to play another preseason game. That, well, that I get what you're saying, like the leverage there potentially for the players. But if you asked an NFL owner, 32 out of 32 would tell you, if you're giving me the option of an 18 game schedule or fully guaranteeing contracts, we're good at 17, right? They're not going to like, that's a nice thing, but they'll pay the players to play the extra game, and they'll exactly. take away a preseason game if they do.
But the players,
and I think a second bye throughout the season would help a lot too.
Say that again, Stuart.
The players, I was talking about all those mileage and wear and tear. This is the bargaining chip they could win on.
Oh, I don't think they could win on it, because I think if it came to that, the NFL would say, well, we don't really care about an 18th game anymore.
Exactly.
Like, if it meant they needed to guarantee contracts fully, what?
Well, then the players would win, because they don't want an 18-game schedule anyway.
I don't think that if the players get paid for 18 games and they don't have to play another preseason game, like if that shrunk, I think you might be surprised at how many players would be just fine playing 18 games. It would also give them, by almost all accounts, an extra bye week. So, you know, probably I think it's going to happen. I think you'll see the preseason shrink by a game. I think you'll see players play 18, but get a second bye week. I think most players would prefer that, to have two bye weeks during the season, play one more week. For the NFL, it's a win because you could take it right up to President's Day. You get your 3-day weekend for the Super Bowl. Like, it's coming. So I just don't know how much of a bargaining chip or like a line in the sand players are going to draw, because if they tried to say, all right, fine, we'll do 18 games if you fully guarantee our contracts, the NFL is just going to say, we'll just play 17 games. I mean, they're not, that's too much of a loss for the NFL to have to do that.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was an idea.
It's a good idea. I appreciate it, Stuart. All ideas are good ideas.
Yeah.
But that one I don't think is a strong enough. I don't think, Felix, there would be anything other than the absolute stars saying that's the next evolution exactly. of a contract.
Well, I think even more so, and this might be a little bit too radical, I think we see the preseason eliminated completely, and then we see a second bye week come in and the 18th game. And I don't know how long that would take and whatever the case may. And you're saying, like, they'll like, if you pay us for the 18th game or pay us more, even go to the nth degree of guaranteeing our contracts, then we'll play an 18th game. But I think the bargaining chip is, we'll play an 18th game if you give us another bye week. And so I think that's more of the trade as opposed to the money aspect.
You can correct me if I'm wrong. I believe that when games like that are added, they just take the per game rate, mm-hmm. right, for the players, and they'll just tack that onto their contract. Yeah. So if you're making $1 million a game, you just get an extra $1 million. They're not asking them to play for free, to play an 18th game for free. I don't even know. Off the top of my head, that's how it works for the playoffs, right? Like,
there's playoff bonuses. I'm not exactly sure. There's probably like a sliding scale. Like, Patrick Mahomes definitely makes more than the rookie outside linebacker, but I can't remember exactly how that works.
I think it's just kind of based on what you'd normally make. I mean, if the players are playing playoff games for free, that's not happening. So, you know, they'll
win the Super Bowl, or do you want to get paid? So,
right. Yeah. Well, nobody wants to work for free. That's the end of the game. It's good. Felix, what do you have cooking for us this week?
I've got the Let's Talk Ball podcast. We'll be recording another episode today with Anthony Lawson. We'll be having an episode coming out this week talking about the top 10 defenses in the NFL. Unfortunately, our Kansas City Chiefs did not make it, but they're like sitting at number 11, which that's where they're probably supposed to be at efficiency-wise. But talking about the top defenses, talking about how football just crosses over into everything else. And so super excited to get things rolling.
I want to get, once you drop that'll be good, because I do want to start looking at things like that over this, you know, 3-4 week stretch we have before training camps, of how are things stacking up predictive. We ran out of time today, Tommy and I, to just sort of look at the rest of the league. If the Chiefs have gotten better, and I think we all think they have, what's everybody else done? Right.
Jair Alexander to the Ravens, man.
I think the Bills got better. I think the Ravens got better. I think the Bengals, mm-hmm. depending on what happens with Hendrickson, probably got better. The Texans will be better. Like, it feels like all the good teams got a little better. Of course, that's not reality. That never is. But it's an interesting dynamic. Felix, we appreciate it. We'll talk again next week.
Appreciate you.
There goes Felix Johnson. Find his work at Arrowhead Addict. You can also follow him on X. Good stuff there. as we discuss everything across the league. Tommy, I just am ready. I don't know. Are you itching for football yet? Like, have you hit that point? I haven't yet, which is abnormal for me. I've really enjoyed this baseball season, and I'm kind of ready to just let that soak in a little bit, which includes the Royals.
Yeah, I'm not there yet. I mean, obviously, if there was a football game on right now, I would watch it. But I'm totally into baseball. It's baseball time of year right now. That's what I'm focused on. I'm focused on getting to the All-Star break, getting to the trade deadline. That's where I'm at.
Do you think this is going to be, before we get into the Royals and get ready for their series that begins tonight against the Rays, do you think this is going to be an active trade deadline across baseball? I think there'll be trades. There'll be trades. Are there going to be blockbuster trades, though? I'm not sure that the sellers have blockbuster players.
There are always blockbuster trades. I mean, it's all relative, you know, based on the talent and the teams that are buying and selling and who's coming up onto free agency and all of that. So I think relative to the crop of players that are available, yeah, I think that there are always big trades. There are going to be teams that are looking for one or two specific pieces where they feel like they can get over the hump and win a championship. And so I think that it's not going to be just a dead trade deadline where nothing is going to happen. You still have
stuff will happen.
You have some clear cut. You've got clear cut teams though that have assets that they can move.
Who's the best player? And I'm asking this, like, I don't have a list in front of me, just like as we're chewing the fat a little bit. Like, who's the best player on a bad team that could get moved? For a while, it was Luis Robert, and it's like, is that really a headline anymore?
I mean, from a pitching perspective, Sandy Alcantara is out there for the Marlins, and he's somebody that I watched him pitch the other day against the Braves, and the Marlins could move him. That's probably the biggest, like, pitching
but he's just
player now, out
he's
there. Been,
he's had a – he hadn't had a – I mean, he's been good lately. But he's got a 6.69 ERA this year. Like,
yeah, but I think teams look at his stuff and they think, okay, like if we can get him out of Miami, we can get him back to where he needs to be. I mean, there's been from a hitting point of view, Nolan Arenado has been dangled so many different times. He's out there potentially as a possibility to be on the trade block. I could see him being somebody. You know, like there are others. Ryan McMahon from the Rockies is out there. Eugenio Suarez from the Diamondbacks could be somebody that could be traded. There are a handful of players that are there that could be, you know, pretty popular trade deadline pickups.
Yeah, I guess I don't see a lot of those guys as just true. And look, we have a month here. Like, there could be teams that fall out that become sellers that could, like, if the Orioles are probably the most interesting. They have a lot of star power. It's not working out this year. How much are they willing to move potentially? I think they become a pretty interesting team to watch. But now I say all that from like the headline. Yeah, there'll be a ton of moves made. That's why I kind of think it's a seller's market, because now all of a sudden you're okay player becomes the best player on the market. You might, like, if you're the White Sox, if you're one of these teams that, like, now right now I'd probably be like, hey, let's make a deal now, because the more sellers that enter the market, the harder it's going to be for them to justify their guys. Anyway, let's talk Royals. Rays series, we all think, we talked to Jalen Thompson yesterday, because the Dodgers are involved in the Rays and they're two really good teams this year, 500 should always be the expectation for the Royals. 500 would feel pretty good this week, especially. We don't know why the Royals are not good at home this year. They're a 500 team at home this year. They had a lot of success against Tampa earlier in the year. Taj Bradley, while he has good stuff, has been susceptible this year. This will be a pretty big one to make sure you get it off to a good start. Chris Bubich on the mound for the Royals. You don't want to fall down in this series, I don't think, in a week where you know what's looming, do you? Like, this is pretty big. And I'll say it too. Bubich has given up 9 runs in his last 3 starts, 8 in his last 2. We talk about the offense needing to pull their weight. This might be a game where the offense needs to pull their weight.
Well, I mean, you know, look, this is a series that if you go back to when the Royals were in the middle of their heater, you know, they swept the Rays in Tampa. And so it wasn't that long ago that, you know, they took it to Tampa Bay. They've got to continue that on, at least so far this season. Matt Quatrero has had his old team's number, and they've got to try to turn around their fortunes at home. That's easier said than done. They've not played well at Kauffman Stadium recently. Of course, we all remember the winless homestand a couple of weeks ago. So they've got to turn that around, and you have to be able to take advantage of this series right now, tonight, tomorrow night, Thursday, because you know what looms on the horizon this weekend with the Dodgers. You've got to take advantage of a Rays team that, while the Rays have been overall good, they've been up and down this year, but they're trending upward right now. You did sweep them earlier this season. You know how to beat them. You've got to be able to take advantage of this series right now before the Dodgers series this weekend.
It's hard for me to just like make definitives with the Royals right now because they've been so wishy. I don't think they should be afraid of the Dodgers this weekend. I don't think there's any reason they can't win a series.
I don't think you'd be afraid of the Dodgers. I don't think you'd be afraid of the Dodgers. I just think you know what you're walking into. You know that you're walking into an extremely loaded lineup with some of the best players in Major League Baseball. And you compound that with the way that they've played recently at home. I think that's why this series is so crucial, because if they stumble in this series against the Rays, things can snowball pretty quickly.
If the home
struggles continue tonight, tomorrow night, and Thursday against the Rays, then at that point, it's hard to be overly optimistic going into this weekend.
So the Dodgers, by the Dodgers starting rotation's kind of a mess right now. Like, they don't even have a starter listed for tonight, but it looks like the Royals are going to miss Yamamoto and they're going to miss Kershaw. The Royals could walk into that series and get a couple innings of Shohei, because I don't think he's ready to stretch out yet. Dustin May, like, I don't know that the Dodgers are going to be it could be shootout city, I guess, would be my thought on that. The Royals are in a pretty good situation as far as the way that whatever rotation the Dodgers are going to roll with. And again, it's kind of a mess for them right now. I honestly think it's kind of an opportunity against the Dodgers this weekend to have a good feel. Like, if they win that series, there'll be some context needed. But we won't care about that context if it's a part of the Royals like turning a corner a little bit. And I don't think it's the same as when the Yankees came in, because the Dodgers are in a little bit of a mess in their rotation. Yes, they're ultra talented, and yes, they could just smash through with their bats and do their thing. But it is, at least you're not facing their top arms at this point. And they will face Shohei in some capacity, but he's not going 7 innings against you. So I think there's some opportunity. If the bats can carry them in that series, just like they'll probably need to pick them up in the series against the Rays, well, let's just call it this then. Has there been a bigger opportunity in a week, you think, for these bats, who are, only because they're starting to hit the ball better, to return the favor of the early season pitching that the Royals, that the starters and everybody gave them? Like, this would be a great opportunity for you to bail them out in this week of games.
Yeah, I mean, it would be. And I think that we've seen, at least recently on this last road trip from the Royals, they've had the opportunity to not only have the offense come alive a little bit, but to back up their starting pitching. We saw that in the Rangers series last week. We saw that in the first game of the Padres series. Now, things had kind of reverted back to what we had been concerned about for a while in Saturday's game. Dylan Cease shut them down in San Diego on Saturday. The bullpen blew the game on Sunday. They've got to shake those two games off and get back to business now, because you've got to get that run support. I mean, Noah Cameron, when he pitched on Saturday, it was like he's maybe gotten like 2 or 3 games total where he's gotten any kind of run support from his offense. So there just hasn't really been that in place for the Royals recently. You've got to do a better job at that in this series. I don't think either one of us have any doubt in the pitching prowess that the Royals have, especially in their rotation. But especially when you're taking on a team like the Rays, and then, of course, this weekend with the Dodgers, you've got to try to find a way to bat better with runners in scoring position, get leads, and hold on to them. That's just the bottom line.
It is. And, you know, I just think that the Royals are entering this strange time where the law of averages is going to play out. And I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I think the law of averages for that starting rotation has started to, but I also think the bats have started to also. I don't think the starting pitching was as good as we saw early in the season. And I don't mean that as an insult. I think it's still really good. I think it's deep. I think it has a chance to be one of the top rotations in baseball, all of those things, but not, it's not sustainable what they were doing early. I also don't think it's sustainable that their bats are as slow as they were. So I think both of those things are returning to the mean a little bit. Where does that put the Royals in the grand scheme of things? If I told you the pitching's not quite that good, but the offense is not also this bad, does that make them a playoff team? And I think that becomes really interesting to watch here, because what if Chris Bubich isn't a Cy Young candidate, right? What if Cole Reagans can't come back? But what if Bobby Witt Jr. returns to form from last year and Salvi finds his power? It's probably going to balance itself out a little bit here. This is a big opportunity for Bubich. Mentioned the pitchers against the Dodgers. Pitcher against the Rays in this series, you get Boz, you get Bradley. That's a good thing when you're playing the Rays to get those two guys. Both of those guys, though, I will caution, have the stuff to strike out a bunch of dudes and make you look silly, but they've been very inconsistent this year. Both of them have ERAs north of 4.5. So when you look at the pitchers that the Royals are going to face in these series, even though it's two teams that we're accustomed to having some of the best pitching in baseball, there is an opportunity for the Royals offense this week to go out and make a huge statement. They had a day off. It hasn't been coming for them at home. We'll see if it does. There are going to be a lot of fans at these games, I would imagine, because they're both highly impactful series, especially the Dodgers. I assume those are close to, if not sellouts. This will be a fun week of baseball, as long as the Royals don't fall flat and do what they did a couple of weeks ago where we're ready to pull our hair out. But I think this will be a fun week at Kauffman. I think they're going to show up. I think the Royals are going to look good this week. We'll find out.
Tuesday. I back up Jalen Thompson. I agree with him. If you can get out of this 6-game stretch at 500, at that point, you feel good. Anything more than that is gravy.
Right. I think you feel good at that, too. I'll call that my baseline. I think they're going to get out at 500. I think it could be better than that. I'm an optimist, though. I hope it could be. I'm ready for baseball tonight. I'm ready for playoff caliber baseball tonight. We'll get it. Hey, don't forget the Summer Concert Series back at the Capitol Federal Amphitheater in Andover. The series returns on Friday with King Midas live on stage. Gates will open at 6:30. Show starts at 8. Free live music, food trucks, Friday night fun all summer long. You can find the full schedule at kfhradio.com. Tommy, tonight, Royals Rays, 6:30. Pregame coverage. Those 6:40 home games continue here. And again, I'm ready for it, man. I'm ready for baseball just to lock in here. Royals to have a big week against two quality opponents.
I love being back to baseball. I feel like those off days, those Mondays are rough, so glad to get back to it tonight.
We'll get TJ and Brandon here for you the rest of the week. Tom will be off for a few days. Enjoy the time away. Thanks to Felix Johnson for being here with us. Thanks to Max for producing. For Tom and Jake, we'll see you tomorrow.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.